Welcome to Fort Seneca Community Church, the best church in town. Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're the only church in town, but that's because no other church could compare to you. Well, my name is Lamar Baker, and I'm honored to start my first Sunday as pastor of the Fort Seneca Community Church. The psalmist declared in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will do two things." Do you remember? Rejoice. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious God, I thank you for this gathering of your saints. And Lord, I pray that our time this morning will bless your heart, but Father, it also will do something within us. You are God, there is no other. And I pray that our time this morning, Lord, will be so meaningful, so fruitful in our lives. Lord, you know what we need, whether we need to be encouraged or challenged. And so, Father, I pray, have your way in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, and all of God's kids said, amen. Well, have you ever been to an office building or a school or even a church building at night? It's an amazing thing when it's dark outside and only a few lights are on and there's nobody in the building or maybe just another person. It can be very spooky. You know, I remember a few years ago, I have a van and I was coming home from a meeting. And I don't know what came over me, but you know, in a van, when you've got two more seats behind you, sometimes that creepy little thought is, I wonder if somebody's in the back of the van. It creeped me out so much so, I had to pull over and leave the door open, turn on the lights, and I had to walk around my van just to make sure that there wasn't somebody. I don't know, just had that creepy feeling. You ever had that when somebody's watching you and you turn around, somebody is watching you? Well, I had that feeling. And there was nobody in the van. Well, you got to love cemeteries when they have signs like this. Cemetery closes at dusk. You know, like I'm going to want to go there in the middle of the night for anything. You know, if I'm going to do any kin hunting, looking for family members, I'm going to go in the daytime. Graveyards are not associated as places of joy and hope. So if you want to see something or you want to hear something good, the last place you would probably consider going would be the graveyard. They are not known as places of celebration. Celebrations happen in key events in history or in one's life. A wedding, the birth of a child, the inauguration of a president, when a king or a queen rises to the throne, July the 4th, when we celebrate the America's birthday. And throughout, what's that? Your birthday is July 4th? So throughout the Bible, angels, we will see, appear during major historical events where things were about to happen. Scripture tells us that the creation of the world, the newly created angels observed God at work and they celebrated what he was doing. In Job 38, we read, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know." This is God having a conversation with Job. "Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." We don't know when angels were created, but we know it was around the beginning because in Job we get a glimpse. The morning stars and the sons of God, that in the Old Testament is always a reference to angels. So they were there cheering on God as the cosmos was being created. We're even told in Scripture that angels were involved in giving the law of God to Moses. In Galatians 3:19, we read, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." And we can't forget, with December coming up, angels appeared to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus. Luke 2 tells us, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" If you're able, would you find a pew Bible? We're going to go to our text for today. Take a pew Bible and turn to page 992, and you can follow along with me as we use the company Bible. Page 992, Matthew 28. This could be an Easter sermon, but it fits in very nicely with October as well. Page 992, Matthew chapter 28. Hear the word of the Lord. "Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, whom was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples." Join me for prayer as I commit this time ahead to him. Father, I thank you for this message and I thank you once again for your people. Lord, use me to be a mouthpiece of yours, to be able to speak truth in a meaningful way that connects with those who are here. Father, may I be hidden behind the cross of Christ so that Jesus only would be lifted up and proclaimed. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany had gone to Jesus' tomb on a Sunday. This was the tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. And in John's Gospel, we are told that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, and he had gone to Pilate, the Roman governor, asking for permission to take possession of Jesus' body. But he wasn't alone, because with him was Nicodemus, the Pharisee who had come to Jesus by night, and we find out had come to put his faith in Jesus. And so Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes. John explains this in his gospel in John 19. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices and long sheets of linen cloth. The place of the crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb, never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. So, the two Marys went to the tomb of Jesus to finish the preparations. Would you give me a bottle of water? And of Jesus' body. And, of course, it had been cut short because when they crucified him on a Friday, the Jewish law was very strict that you had to have no work on the Sabbath. Thank you. So the two Marys came to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' body. But when they found the stone had been rolled away that blocked the entrance, they were a little perplexed. And there was the angel. After he rolled the stone, Scripture says he did what? He sat on the stone. I love God's sense of humor. He's sitting there on the stone, chilling, waiting for these ladies to come. You know, God does have a sense of humor. In the Old Testament, he used Balaam's donkey to speak to his master. And you can read about that in Numbers 23. But startled by his presence, the angel had to say, "Do not be afraid." The King James records it as, "Fear not." And fear not is the theme of my sermons in October, in keeping with the fact that it is Halloween later this month. Dr. Luke informs us that there were actually two angels present, but the one who spoke is recorded in Matthew's account that we read together. What did this angel say? Well, I want us to consider five things that the angel shared with the two Marys. And the first thing was, Jesus was crucified. In the Bible, angels are often visibly present as witnesses to divine events, and they are active parts as messengers from God. This angel gives a clear testimony that Jesus Christ did indeed die on the cross. You know, there are those who doubt that. There are people who say, no, it really wasn't Jesus, but somehow when he was near death, they managed to get him down and put somebody up in his place. I have heard some of the most bizarre accounts that it wasn't Jesus who died. And, you know, Muslims, this is one of the things they believe strongly, that Jesus was not crucified. Or the Gnostics, who were these ancient philosophers who believed material world is sinful, spiritual is divine, and so they had a hard time believing that God could take on flesh and die on a cross. And so they rejected that. The angel is very clear. Jesus was crucified. There's no mirage here. There's no hallucination. The second thing the angel brought out was that Jesus is not here, for he has risen. For the first time, these followers of Jesus, these faithful women, heard what they did not expect to hear. Jesus had risen to resurrection life. You know, this should not be a surprise because before his crucifixion, Jesus did say, and it's recorded in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live." There are examples in the Bible of people being resuscitated before this. The widow's son in the days of Elijah, you read about that in 1 Kings 17. And then Lazarus in John chapter 11. Each was resuscitated from death, but none of them were resurrected. Each of them was raised in the same body they died in. They were raised from the dead to eventually die again. Resurrection isn't just living again. It's living again in a new body, based on our old body, but perfectly suited for life in eternity. Jesus was not the first one brought back from the dead, but he was the first one resurrected from the dead. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. In Israel, there is an ocean of tombstones on the Mount of Olives. There's a vast sea of graves outside the eastern wall of the Temple Mount. You can see the tomb of Rebekah, the tomb of David, the tomb of Absalom, but you will not find a tomb of Jesus anywhere. He's not here. Jesus' resurrection proved that his death was an actual propitiation for sin and that the Father had accepted it as such. Propitiation means atonement, making something right. The cross was the payment, the resurrection, the receipt, proving that the payment was fully accepted. I love what it says in Hebrews 9:15. This is why, speaking of Jesus, he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. This is one of the special things to me as a Christian about communion. Sometimes when you're in the Lord a long time and God has done a work in your life, you can almost get a little puffed up. I know the Lord. You know, they don't know the Lord. And sometimes we can almost get that same attitude that the Pharisees had. You know, I know the Lord, you don't know the Lord. I'm special, something's wrong with you. And when I think about communion, it always takes me back to that moment when I was a teenager, when the gospel made sense and Jesus Christ opened my spiritual eyes that I could see why he came and why he did what he did. It's a humbling thing, not to rub my face in it, but just to remind me of who I am in him. That, to me, is one of the special things about communion. Well, the third thing that the angel brought up was come. The angel said, come. See the place where he lay. Past tense. When we see the place where they laid him, we see that the Father did not forsake Jesus. When we see the place where they lay him, we see that death is conquered because Jesus is not there. When we see the place where they laid him, we see that we have a living friend in Jesus. Fourth, the angel says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. What an honor for these two women. When you think about when Jesus died on the cross, where were his disciples? They ran and they hid. But there were the ladies in Jesus' life, his mother and others, these Marys. And they were there as witnesses to what happened. These two women were courageous enough to publicly identify with Jesus at his crucifixion. This was an appropriate honor for them to be the first messengers of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. Because the angel says, go, tell his disciples. They are the first ones given the word to tell. Charles Spurgeon observed that it was the apostles who had to go to the school of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to learn this great truth. The Lord is risen indeed. Finally, the fifth point that the angel made was that Jesus is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Jesus was raised to continue his relationship with them. In John 13 through 17, we read of the Last Supper and all that Jesus said to his disciples before they arrested him and tried him in that sham of a trial. In John 14, verses 2 to 3, Jesus said these words, and they're so often said at funerals of believers, reminding them that there is life beyond what we see in this world. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, Jesus said, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For 2,000 years, people have been placing their trust in Jesus. When they die, what happens to them? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read Paul saying, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul wrote these words, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So good news from the cemetery. Scripture tells us that the two Marys departed from the tomb with fear and great joy. These women did what the angels told them to do. He told them to go quickly, and that they did. They ran to Jesus' disciples. You know, revelation gives birth to responsibility. Charles Spurgeon, the evangelist of the 1800s, said this, saints running in the way of obedience are likely to be met by Jesus. Some Christians travel to heaven so slowly that they are overtaken by follies or by faults, by slumber or by Satan. But he who is in Christ running footman shall meet his master while he is speeding on His way. When you read verses 9 and 10, Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany met the risen Jesus. The resurrection of Christ is the greatest event in history. It is the main event of God's redemptive plan. It is the cornerstone and the foundation of the gospel. According to Romans 10, 9 through 10, in order to be saved, you have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death does not end our existence. This is the message throughout the Bible. Death is merely the doorway into eternity. Everyone goes through that doorway, and everyone lives forever. We are created in God's image. We have an eternal soul that does not die when our body does. Everyone lives forever. Some to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. I choose the resurrection of life with Jesus. What about you?